welcome you tonight to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church to our gospel service, and we trust that the Lord will bless you tonight as you meet with us under the sound of God's precious word. Our prayer is that tonight God will move in your heart if you know not Christ and bring you to a knowledge of the Saviour, that you might know the experience of God's salvation tonight. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, tonight we seek your face in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the gospel, the glorious message of salvation that is being presented tonight. And we ask of thee, O God, that thou will give help in this meeting in every detail of it, that thy name will be glorified, that thy name will be honored, that thou will speak to every heart tonight through thy precious word. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. The hymns that you will hear sung tonight are from previous services in the church, and also the ministry and song from the Lord's servant from a previous service in the church. The hymn 276 is the opening hymn tonight. Oh, now I see the cleansing wave, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. Number 276. In our hymn book, you can turn to it where you are in your home, page 287, and join in the singing of this hymn.
Together from the book of John's Gospel, in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and reading together.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight for this gospel service. We pray for power and help from the commencement to the conclusion, that thou wilt be the portion of the preacher tonight, as he stands between the living and the dead to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for this message that is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believes. We thank you for this life-changing message. And, O God, we thank thee for the grace of God that can be manifested in lives. That where sin abounds, grace can much more abound. And we pray that that will be so tonight, even through the preaching of thy word, that thou wilt, O God, bring conviction of sin to hearts and lives of old, middle-aged, young alike. And we pray that many tonight, hearing the sound of the gospel, will hear that their souls might live. O God, we pray that thou wilt cause them to incline their ear, even tonight, to the message of thy truth, that the Holy Spirit will so work upon them that they will be brought to know and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. We thank that thou art the answer to every sinner's need, that thou canst break the chains of sin, that thou canst set souls gloriously and eternally free. And we pray that thou wilt do that even tonight. Lord, that thou wilt move by thy Spirit, that thou wilt come with mighty power. And, O God, that thou wilt descend, O gracious Lord, descend. O come and bless us now. We long, O God, that thou wilt grant that the windows of heaven will be opened and the showers of divine blessing will fall down upon us tonight. Remember those who are backslidden, Lord, speak to such tonight. And grant, Lord, that thou wilt bring them back to the joy of thy salvation, and grant that they may experience restoration to the Lord tonight. Bless thine own people as they hear thy word, that they will be encouraged, that they will be blessed, that they will be built up in their faith, and Lord, that they will know comfort of the scriptures tonight as they hear again the grand old story of redeeming grace. Heavenly Father, we pray, do you remember right across our land and across the world, as the gospel goes out, we pray that many men and women will hear tonight and be saved by the grace of God. Father, we pray for those in particular need in our congregation and beyond it tonight. We pray that thou wilt bless each brother and sister who is ill. We pray that thou wilt touch each one. Thou wilt restore to wanted health and strength. Thank you for those that thou hast ministered to in past days. We pray that thou wilt continue that ministry of healing. Think of those who feel isolated and alone through this pandemic. We pray that thou wilt comfort all such, that thou wilt bless each one at this time. And Lord, we pray that they may know the presence of the Lord with them, even through these days. O Lord, we ask of thee that you'd undertake, that you'd strengthen, and that you would sustain all such tonight. Remember those in hospital who are so ill. O God, we pray for all who minister to them, doctors and nurses in the hospital, all the hospital staff. We pray that thou wilt keep them safe as they minister to others. And we pray for those in ICU and who are severely ill, that thou wilt draw near to them as your will, that they may recover. We pray for those who have passed away, the families of those who have passed away. We pray that thou wilt remember, O God, them at this time. Lord, that thou wilt give that comfort and grace. And Lord, in the midst of all of this death and sorrow that we hear day and daily, we pray, O God, that thou wilt speak words of salvation to those without Christ. We thank you for all that has been done to reduce the spread of this virus. We thank thee for, O God, all that the health service are doing day by day. We thank you for the spreading out of this vaccination. We thank thee, Lord, for the many thousands that have received it already. We pray that as this continues, it will be of benefit to society in stopping the spread of the virus. Lord, we ask of thee, you'll answer prayer for our government too. Give them wisdom in all that they have to do in relation to these matters. And we pray that their hearts will be turned to thee and that they may put their trust and faith in the Lord. Move in the nations of the world, our own nation, and right across the world in these times, we pray. Do answer prayer. Take our thanks, Lord, for all the answers you've given already. We come to thee now and pray for thy blessing upon this meeting, upon thy servants' ministry and song as it goes out tonight. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're going to hear ministry and song from our sister Vivian McCloy. She's going to minister now. It, of course, was recorded from a previous service in the church. Emphasize the welcome to our service tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless you as you have been able to meet with us, whether it's on Sermon Audio or Facebook Live or YouTube this evening. Could I just mention some announcements at this stage of our service? On Wednesday at 8 p.m. will be our missionary prayer meeting. Again, it'll be shown online. The work of the Faith in Action Missions, a video of that will be shown, and of course will be followed by a season of prayer in our homes, where we trusted you will remember this work that you will see and hear about, God willing, on Wednesday night, and then of course the missionary work at home and abroad throughout our denomination. And the missionary offering for this work of Faith in Action can be forwarded to our treasurers or retained until we meet back in the church and put in at that point. Friday at 8 p.m., Youth Fellowship on Zoom, and it's Youth Council Night, and the link will be forwarded to the youth beforehand. We encourage you to join in on Friday night again. We thank you for joining in the past nights, and we trust again you'll be encouraged to do that this Friday night at 8 p.m. Parents, encourage your youth, young people yourselves, look out for the link, and if you have any problem with that, do let us know, and come forward and join with us for the Youth Fellowship this Friday night at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, service is 11:30 and 7. We trust you'll join us online for those services, and we trust the Lord's blessing will be upon his word as it goes forth. Pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. We're thankful to the Lord for those who have been touched and restored to health and strength. Pray for others going through various treatments or waiting for treatments to commence. Some are waiting for operations and other procedures in days to come, to remember all such. And pray for divine intervention at this time in relation to this virus. We're thankful to the Lord for the amount of vaccinations that have already taken place. And we trust that in these days and weeks ahead, many more will take place, and many more will be protected from the severities of this virus. We pray for our health service and all concerned with the vaccination program as well. Our service will be for now continuing online, the weekly meditation on Facebook as well and WhatsApp. Offerings can be forwarded, as has been indicated clearly already, and we appreciate all who have sent offerings in to our treasurers or put your offerings in another way, or they can be held until we return to public worship in the church. We appreciate all the sacrificial giving of the tithes and offerings of the Lord's people to the Lord's work. We're going to read together from the Word of God. Read together from the Word of God tonight in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua and the chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Let us hear the Word of God. The verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in thither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. It came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. It shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us all engage in prayer this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the transforming power of the gospel. The transforming power of the gospel. There's a verse there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. I draw your attention to. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. As we speak upon this subject tonight, we recognize the transforming power that there is in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
All things are passed away, but all things become new. There are many illustrations of this in Scripture, and also in the lives of multitudes of people throughout the centuries of time. As we think on this subject, we are considering the transforming power of the gospel in the life of the harlot Rahab. And what a thrilling, what a wonderful and exciting story this is. Somebody has said, nature forms us, sin deforms us, prisons try to reform us, education informs us. But only Christ can transform us. And we need to be transformed by the saving power of Jesus Christ. As we think about this woman, Rahab the harlot, I want to think about her desperate situation. She was a pagan, and she was living in spiritual darkness, a harlot living in sinful depravity, a Canaanite destined for sure destruction. She was a woman who desperately needed God to do something miraculous in her life. And as we study the Word of God, we see that Rahab was transformed by the power of God. And such a wonderful transformation it was. Rather than being destined for divine destruction, she was spared along with her household. Here is a woman transformed. And she is named here in Hebrews chapter 11 in Scripture among the great heroes of the faith that are mentioned there. Rahab the harlot. From the house of shame to the hall of fame. Amazing grace indeed. This, my friends, I submit to you tonight, is the transforming power of the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God works to bring people to Himself. And so as we look at our subject tonight, the transforming power of the gospel in the life of this woman, I want you to notice three things. First of all, the providence that confronted her. You see, the Holy Spirit begins to work in the heart of a lost sinner. And the Holy Spirit brings circumstances and events to work upon a person's life until they are softened, until their heart is prepared. And until that person is hungry to know the gospel. And in the providence of God, the lost person is confronted with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, we read of Philip and his encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. And how providentially God brought that about. And Philip went at the direction of the Lord into that region. And of course, in that desert region, he came into contact with the Ethiopian eunuch and presented to him the message of the gospel of Christ. You think in Acts 10 of Cornelius, an army officer of the Italian band, a Gentile. But he had a hunger to know God. And God so worked upon Peter's heart to go to this man with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was wonderfully saved. You think of John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria. And the Lord Jesus Christ was on a journey. And the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. John chapter 4 tells us that. This was, of course, the hand of God. He would normally have gone that way or that particular route for where he was going. But the Lord was directed there.
and he sat on Jacob's well. And that is where the woman of Samaria came to draw water. He entered into conversation with this woman and told her about the water of life. And she became a partaker of that living water. And her life was transformed by the grace of God. And she goes back into the city and tells the man there, in John 4:29, it's recorded, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" My friends, this was not by chance. The Lord had planned it. And what I am saying is this. The same Lord that brought Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, the same Lord that brought Jesus to the woman at the well, the same Lord that brought Peter to the house of Cornelius, is working right now tonight, perhaps in your heart, in someone else's heart, in the hearts of men and women and young people across this world. The Lord is working tonight. The Holy Spirit is moving. In lives across society, people are being convicted. Perhaps it's because of a car accident. Maybe it's through a domestic problem. Or maybe it's through this awful virus that is prevailing across this world. Maybe it's through a blessing that has come to your home and family. Who knows how the Spirit is working to prepare hearts. And at the same time, the Lord is wanting people just like you. He wants to use you and me that we might be effective witnesses, as Philip was, as Peter was, as our blessed Lord Jesus Christ was too. Do you know why the Lord used these two spies as he did in Joshua chapter 2, the portion we've read from tonight? Do you know why they were ready to give such a wonderful advice to Rahab the harlot? Because in chapter 1, verse 16 of Joshua, they had said, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. All that thou commandest us, we will do." You see, they were available to do the Lord's will. They were available to do the Lord's work. And folks, what our God is looking for tonight is somebody, not necessarily with ability, but who is available. People who will say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." People who will say, "Lord, I am willing to do now and into the future what you want me to do. I want you to use me. I'm available." Are you available to do service for Christ? Are you available tonight to do the work of God that needs to be done now? Not tomorrow, but now. Not in 2 weeks' time, but now. The providence that confronted her. But I want you to see, secondly tonight, the evidence that convicted her. How could this woman, Rahab, the harlot, have such conviction that she wanted to be saved? And you look, of course, at the portion we have read from in Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And what caused her to have this conviction? What caused her to know that God had given to Israel the promised land, the land of Canaan? What caused her to know that Jericho was such a lost cause? What caused her to know that God is such a great God? Listen to her confession of faith in the last part of verse 11. "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." How did she know that?
She knew it because she observed the miracles that God had done in the hearts and lives of his people. Look at verse 10 of chapter 2 of Joshua, where we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan. When she saw something miraculous about the lives of the people of God, it brought her under conviction. When she saw what God had done, she was moved, as were others. Look at verse 11. As soon as we heard, not only heard, but others too, are the lives that we are living impacting upon the lives of those without Christ, causing others who see us, who know us, in society to be convicted of their sin. The Bible tells us there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? When they heard and saw what was done on the day of Pentecost. And what happened was this: the 120 who had been praying and asking God to bless them, God the Holy Spirit descended upon them in miraculous power. The word of God was proclaimed, and all that were gathered there heard in their own tongues the wonderful works of God. And the people said, what meaneth this? Here was something they could not explain. They were bewildered. Is it any wonder that soon they began asking another question? Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So there's two questions here in this passage. Verse 12, what meaneth this? The first question was asked. Then verse 37, what shall we do? You can see the conviction. When they saw what was being done, they said, what shall we do? And if people see in our lives the transforming power of the grace of God, the evidence of that change, that will bring conviction to these people. One cynic said, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a little bit more redeemed. If you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a little more redeemed. What was the evidence that convicted her? What was it that struck terror into the heart of Rahab the harlot? What was it? She saw in the lives of the people of God the power of God that was inexplicable. And that brought conviction to her heart. You see, these people that she saw, they had a Red Sea experience. The Lord had brought them through the sea, miraculously, powerfully, wonderfully, gloriously. But they had the blood of a lamb experience. You see, they were redeemed out of Egypt by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And they had the power of God upon them and upon their lives. And I believe when people see this, they will want to believe when they see what God has done for us. The wonder of his grace. The marvelous change that has taken place in us and what God has done for us. They will be convicted of their sin. But I want you to see further the confidence that converted her. You see, this woman was saved not by works, but by faith. Going back to our verse in Hebrews 11, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Her faith, not her good works, her confidence in Almighty God was what converted her.
Look again at the book of Joshua, chapter 2 and verse 12. She's talking to the spies. And in verse 11, if you look at that, first of all, she says, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and above and in all the earth beneath." And in the earth beneath. And then look at verses 12 and 13. "Therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." This woman wanted to know mercy. She wanted deliverance for her and her family from death. Again, verses 17 to 21, "The men said unto her, We will be blameless of this oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home to thee." And of course, if they were to know this deliverance, they had to remain in the house, not to go outside the house. And the scarlet cord or line had to be hung from the window. She must show that sign of the scarlet cord and bind it in the window. And when the army of Israel would come against Jericho, everyone would be told that when they saw that scarlet thread or cord in the window, they were to skip over that house. And everyone in the house where the scarlet thread would be saved. What does the scarlet thread stand for? Oh, my friends, it stands for the blood of Christ. It's an Old Testament picture of the blood. You see, these Jews who told Rahab of this had had the experience of the Passover, Exodus chapter 12, where the lamb was slain for each household, and the blood was shed, and the blood was applied to the lintel and the doorposts of each house of the Israelites. And the scarlet line was to be to Rahab what the scarlet blood was to those Israelites in Egypt. It spoke of the blood. And just as the Israelite army passed over Rahab's house, the death angel had passed over the households of the Israelites in Egypt, where the blood had been applied. And all of that, my friend, speaks of the blood of the Lamb. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood is no remission. My friend, you're not going to heaven by your good works, or by being baptized, or by paying tithes or offerings, or by keeping the Ten Commandments. There's only one thing that can redeem the sinner, and it's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was it that transformed Rahab the harlot? The blood of Jesus. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Jesus had not even died. But let me tell you, Scripture reminds us Christ was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:19 to 20. You see, Rahab was saved by looking forward to Calvary, to the blood of Christ shed upon that cross, just as we are saved today by looking back to the blood of Christ and to the cross work of our Savior. God has only one plan of salvation. It's the blood sprinkled way. The hymn writer penned those beautiful words, "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." What did the blood do for Rahab? Not only did it deliver her, it transformed her. It wasn't just judgment that she had escaped. She became a pure and a virtuous woman. the great-great-grandmother of King David. Be of sin the double cure. Wash me from its guilt and power. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Oh, my friend, this gospel that we present to you tonight, this gospel that we preach to you tonight, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And the same gospel that transformed Rahab so long ago can transform you tonight. I want to thank God for the blood of Jesus. I want to thank God tonight for the fact that Jesus died in agony and anguish upon that cross. I want you to notice something about Rahab the harlot. Not only did she confess her faith secretly, but she confessed it openly. She hung that scarlet thread or cord in the window, not in the closet, but outwardly, openly, publicly, unashamedly, declaring, here's a house under the blood. Here's a house under the blood. And the children of Israel in Egypt were to put the blood of the lamb on the lintel and doorposts of the houses where they dwelt so that everyone could see it. Have you been ashamed to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or have you the scarlet cord in the window of your life? Evidence that the precious blood has been applied. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, the Gospel of Mark and the 8th chapter and verse 38. And these are the words of Scripture there, the 8th chapter of Mark and verse 38. Whosoever therefore be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Are you ashamed of Christ? This woman wasn't ashamed to be under the blood. Are you under the blood tonight? Is your family under the blood? I want to tell you that faith that will not lead to confession will not lead to heaven. But this woman was open in her confession of faith. If you are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of you. For the Scripture says in Romans 10, verse 11, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. In conclusion, let me say this. Some of you may be thinking tonight, well, that's all right for a person like Rahab. She needed to be changed, but not me. I never have done what she had done. I'm a very cultured person. I'm a very upright person. I have very nice manners. I have good morals. I don't need the gospel. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he was here on earth? He looked at the self-righteous people of his day and he said this in Matthew 21, verse 31, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. The publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. The harlots will go to heaven before some of you self-righteous people because at least they know they're sinners and will call upon God to save them. And remember this tonight, we are all sinners. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was the blood that saved Rahab. And only the blood can save you tonight. Exodus 12, 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was the blood that saved her. It was the power of the blood that transformed her and took her from the house of shame to the hall of fame. Thank God for the transforming power of the gospel. Oh, may you know tonight its transforming power in your life. I have a book in my study. It was given to me by a man who trusted Christ many years ago when I was on the Shankill Road ministering there. Often I look at that Bible commentary. I see the name of this man. He's now in glory. But once he was involved in serious problems in our society and activity of organizations that were involved in the troubles of this land, high up in one of those organizations. One night, as I ministered the Word of God in the Shankill Road, two men came in. This man's name, it's on my book, and another man, his friend. And they came in and sat right at the back seat. Never saw them before. Sunday night after Sunday night, they continued to come. And then I learned where they lived, or where one of them lived. This man gave me this commentary. I went to see him. His friend came in at the same time. And that day I had the joy of leading them both to Christ. His friend and this man. His life was transformed. He told me something of his history, and he came to the church every week. Attended the services. One day when I went round, he said, "I have this gift for you." He said, "I bought you this Bible commentary, Matthew Henry's commentary. I have it in my study. But here's an example of the transforming grace of God in the life of that man. How God saved him." Some years later, he took cancer and died, and I conducted his funeral. And all of those former colleagues in the organization that he was involved in were gathered at his funeral in the church. And I preached the gospel and told the story of this man's conversion to the hardest man on the Shankill Road and beyond. Transforming grace of God. My friend, what God did for that man and for his friend. And both of them now are in glory. He can do for you tonight. He did it for Rahab the harlot. Oh, my friend, he can do it for you. You come to Christ tonight. The door of God's mercy is open. The blood sprinkled way is the only way. You come that way tonight. I trust you will. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, apply thy word to the hearts of those that have heard tonight. And we pray, O God, there will be those that will come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ before it is forever too late. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to our closing hymn, it's the words of 211. In our hymn book 211, again, sung at a previous service in our church, there is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. Fills my heart with hope and cheer. 'Tis old, yet ever new. 211, page 261. I trust you'll join in the singing of this hymn.
Thank you for joining us for our Gospel evening service. Trust the Lord will bless His word to your heart. If you're concerned or troubled about your soul, do please make contact with us by text or by phone call. Be happy to speak to you about these things. But don't go on in your sin, but come and know the transforming power of the Gospel in your heart and life tonight. May God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by the power of Thy Spirit, Thou wilt draw souls to Christ tonight. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you all, both now and forevermore. Amen.